My name is Bella Monda Ikeze. It's quite a unique name. It's an Italian name, but it's got some French roots because we were actually colonized by the French people. And so I was born in Burundi, which would be Central East Africa. And for a lot of people who would know Burundi, it's like neighboring Rwanda, which everybody knows, and Congo and Tanzania. So it's a little country that's shaped pretty much like a heart. It is considered like the heart of Africa. So I was born in 1996, but in the middle of a massive civil war. So it was a genocide, actually, which started in 1994. And so I was three when I went to the refugee camp. And there's a story I love to tell about me as a child because I was quite adventurous. Actually, I still am. So we were quite, you know, pretty well off. Like, my father was a teacher. My mom worked for UNHCR, but also a teacher and a principal. You know, like, they were really educated parents. And so the house worker would make meals. So they would cook, they would clean, they would dress us, they would take us to school, all that sort of stuff. And I would go and actually take the food and give it to the kids in the refugee camp. Now, I remember this because, you know, I grew to be quite a skinny kid because I'd watch other kids eat instead of me eating. And I'd do that over and over. And Mom tells me the story of how, like, the house worker didn't know it was good. I was quite sneaky, you know, never found out. So I would take the food and give it to the kids, and the house worker got concerned, like, where the food's going missing. And Mom took a day off one day, and she just paid attention, stayed there. And I think she caught me, but I didn't realize she caught me. Instead, she actually watched what I was doing with the food. So she would see that I would take the food to the kids and I'd tell them all to eat. I'm not saying like five kids, like, you know, I had built a little bit of a community. Mom would watch that, and this is why I am who I am. Instead of stopping me, she would, you know, work harder and actually get the worker to make another dish, like double, like more rice, like, or two pots of rices. And that's kind of shaped me as a child. And so, yeah, I grew up in that refugee camp, and like, I saw people get shot. It was kind of like in the refugee camp, like a bit of everything. And yeah, I came to Australia when I was about 10. In the mind of a child, you don't know what's going on or what's happening, but you almost feel like you're royalty, you know, because you're going on this massive plane. You've never seen a plane in your life. And at one stage, actually, I tell this story. At one stage, because I'm the oldest out of the, because we were four at the time, just my brothers and me. I thought we were going to heaven because heaven. Yeah, because I was a child who grew up in church. And so we always got taught heaven is up. And so when you're flying on a plane, and you're going up, you're going to heaven, you're going to meet the angels with wings, and oh my gosh. And so when I landed, so we went to Singapore for a while. I thought Singapore was heaven because there were so many white people. I'm serious. I thought the white people were the angels. So even it got even better when I came to Australia and we got our own house, and then we got fed the first meal. Oh my goodness. I was like, I'm actually in heaven. This is the best feeling ever. And then I went to primary school. Everything changed because I think that idea of heaven really shattered for me. Because I was like, oh, you know, we're taught in church that angels are pure, angels are nice. And to then get bullied by the angels, like what I perceived as angels, was just, yeah, it was very shattering, and I think I just became a really quiet kid. Mind you, I'm really skinny as well because of the fact that I didn't eat as much. The last few years of being in the refugee camp, like, life got really, really tough, like so tough. So we came to, I came to Australia, I was 10. When I hit 11, 12, and mind you, I'm battling with hormones and puberty. It's all hitting me at once. Depression, puberty, not a good mix. So one time, you know, a bus came and picked us up. I didn't know what was going on. There was other kids in the bus, and I think I was one of the, like, the oldest kids. I rocked up, and so I went in the bus, very depressed. Didn't say anything. I was very to myself, but other kids, they were rowdy and everything. So we went to Herb Graham. So Herb Graham is a recreational center where you play basketball and soccer and all that sort of stuff. And I remember I was sitting on the sideline. We were playing basketball. We were sitting on the sidelines. And Joe comes up to me and he asked me to join a leadership program. And so I think I was actually the youngest in the cohort. Others that were like in their 20s. And the whole point of that program, which, by the way, I ended up taking over, was about building young people and their ethics. Like, my confidence grew, and Joe asked me if I wanted to coach AFL. The first question was like, what is AFL? Because I honestly had no clue what this sport was. I'd like, Joe would get me to like go in a room and watch YouTube videos, like AFL YouTube videos. It still didn't make a damn sense. And he was like, tell me to go in the backyard. And I was so frustrated because it's one thing to watch YouTube videos, but it's another thing to actually do it. And the ball was going everywhere and I just wasn't getting that bounce. And he would ask me to like kick and, you know, throw it up and mark it. And it was so awkward. I hated it. But I'd do that every Saturday before the youth leadership program. Now, that didn't sell it for me because I was like, I can't do this. It's so boring and like I don't understand. But I think what sold it for me is one time we went to a live AFL game at Patterson's. Now, I was quite a radical kid at this time because I had gotten expelled from one of my high schools for fighting. So I was really like getting aggressive, getting really angry because I just was really a really frustrated kid. And so I had blonde hair, blonde short hair. I was radical, like I was crazy. And went to a footy game with these boys who were part of the first AFL multicultural team in Australia. Now, I didn't understand what that all meant. And at this time, I was 14. So we went to a live game and I saw Nick Nanui. And I was like, oh, that's a black man playing. And that really, like, I was really curious and intrigued by the game. And, you know, like, you watch it on YouTube, you go practice, and then now you're seeing it. You're seeing, like, what you've been watching live, and it's right there, right there. And I don't know. I wanted more. I wanted to do it more. And so got asked to be an assistant coach. Didn't know what that meant. Turned 15, I really got into it as an assistant coach, coaching these boys who were really, really, really tall. And I really enjoyed the experience. I mean, I got disrespected a couple of times because I was so young. And like, when I say taller than me, older than me, like in their 20s, I was 15. And then an article came out in the West or something saying that, you know, I'm the first black African AFL coach in Australia. I didn't know what that all meant, but there was a picture taken of me because we played a curtain raiser, which is like before an AFL game, like a team. And the years went on and things just escalated where I think I went on a journey where I became, so I was assistant coach and I was head coach of the little ones. I really loved that. And then I became head coach of this team. And then I became an assistant manager for the team. And then I took over the program completely. A lot of waffle players have come from the program, and even Susan Akech, who's with Hawthorne, was with her first season, she was with the Dockers. This program is the program that really kicked her off. You know, I was part of the coaching team at the time, and it's not just her, there's a whole lot of other people. What really sold it to me was more two things. I got a traineeship with the West Australian Football Commission, working alongside Jan Cooper, who was the AFL Women's CEO at the time, Alana Dickey, who was the female football coordinator. I actually didn't know there was such a thing as a women's competition throughout. The first game I ever watched was a Swan Districts match, and Chelsea Randall, who was my friend at the Football Commission, invited me to that grand final, and I saw her play, and that was the first time I ever saw women play. And I ended up playing the following season for West Perth. And I realized it's hard. You can't do it all. So you can only do your best. And I was so unfit. My first game, I thought I was dying because my heart was burning. And I'd coach them and I'd tell them the rules and everything. But when it came to me having to apply what I know, it's a whole different ball game, and I was very confused. And so it actually grew me as a coach, because when I went back to coach, like, actually I was doing both, but when I would coach, I'd understand the frustration. Just on a side note, like, playing AFL really gave me perspective on the Australian culture. Like, this is something I've always been missing. I always felt, like, quite disconnected to the way people would practice culture here in Australia. Like, a lot of people say, oh, Australia doesn't have a culture. It absolutely does. And AFL is a huge part of the Australian way and Australian culture, because they have a sport that's unique to them, not just for people from Australia, but especially when I was doing the Lions program and introduced girls into the Lions, you know, had the Butler Falcons, the first African AFL team, but to introduce more girls, yeah, totally, it was the best. Yeah, I think AFL is probably part of my roots. I'd say, like, it's definitely shaped my identity. You know, I don't like to say that things I do is who I am, but I think the contents of what I do, how that's part of something bigger than myself, is really, like, yeah, saved me as a human being. I can only imagine if I didn't have AFL what I'd be.